All right, you guys are in a real treat for this morning. Now, many of you know I've been traveling. I've been out a lot this summer, and I'm back now. However, I'm still recovering from a few of my vacation injuries that I suffered last week. You'll have to get the tape if you want to hear about that. But no, I'm only kidding. I do want to say this. I have been traveling a little bit more than usual this summer, and man, it is so great to be back. And I'm going to be speaking live. Obviously, I always speak live here, except for y'all over at the Annex. I'll be here next weekend, and I'm in pocket like all the way at least to the end of September. So if those of you who think I haven't been preaching enough, don't worry, you'll be good and sick of me in like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks wanting me to get more guest speakers in. But this weekend I had the opportunity to have in a friend of mine that I've been wanting to get here at Celebration Church for quite some time. He pastors a phenomenal church in New Orleans, Louisiana, my birthplace, and he has campuses in Mandeville. That's across the lake if you're familiar with the South Louisiana area. He has a campus in Mandeville, and he also has an incredible campus in inner city New Orleans right by the Superdome that we're looking forward to sending some mission teams over to next year. And he's grown the church from scratch to about 5,000 people, and he's a great, real strong in leadership, great friend of mine, and you're really gonna enjoy him this weekend. So I want you to give the best Celebration Church welcome you can. Would you put your hands together for my friend Pastor Steve Robinson? All right, buddy, thank you.
I just love being around Pastor Stovall, and primarily because I get fired up. Every time I listen to him, I just want to go, yeah! He was at our leadership. He was speaking to our executive team about, oh gosh, 6 months ago. And we had all the guys around the table, and we had some of our top leader guys and gals there. And he starts rocking back and forth, you know. And I'm like, man, this is good. I said, you gotta put this in a book. You know, and I'm interjecting a little bit, and he goes, I'm going to do that. And I said, I want half the profit. I felt like I had a little contribution there, you know. But anyway, it is a joy to be here. When Pastor Stovall and Tarek were with us, he said, man, I want you to come. And so we worked out a time. We've had a great time this week. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open to Genesis chapter 12. That's in the Old Testament. If you are looking at any red, you've gone too far. Some of y'all are going to get that about 1 o'clock. But anyway, I've known Pastor Stovall about 8 years. You guys have a great church. Listen to me closely. I preach at a lot of churches. This isn't like bring your friend in, he's going to say something cool about the church. This is some of the best worship I've ever experienced, ever. And I mean that. You guys are blessed. Big time. I want to talk to you this morning about God's dream for your life and the process of the dream. Over the last 20 years, I've been a Christian. I'm 39, a couple months older than your pastor, but I've been a Christian for almost 21 years. It's October to be 21 years. And one thing I've learned as I've walked with God is that the Christian life is a journey. It really is. For every one of us in here, our walk with God is a journey. One of the things I say to our church all the time is that, watch this, God is not into perfection. He's really not. Even some of you think, wait a minute, Matthew 5, he said, be ye perfect. It's the Greek word mature. God is not into perfection, sinlessness, but he is into progress. I want you to think about that for a moment. He's not into perfection. How many of y'all grateful that God didn't throw you away the first time you make a mistake? I'm very grateful. I don't know if I can hold up 3 hands, but one of the things I've learned about God is this. Watch this. Check this out. God says, this is what the Bible says. It says that we go from faith to what? Faith. Glory to glory. Strength to strength. Even Mark chapter 4, that famous parable of Jesus where he's talking about the seed and the sower. Listen to this. Listen to how God moves and how he operates. This is the expectation of God for our lives. It says that when he sows the seed, watch this. It says the seed reproduces 30-fold, 60-fold, and what? 100. Notice he doesn't go 30, 60, back it on down to 45. And that's important because the way that God sees your life is that God's expectation is that we are to grow spiritually, emotionally. That means every marriage in here, we are to grow and to mature into what God has for us. I want you to think about this just for a moment. Healthy kingdoms grow. Healthy churches grow. Healthy people grow. I want to teach you guys a little big theological term here, all right? You guys are going to be big-time theologians just for a day. There's a term I learned in seminary. It's called the hypostatic union, big term. And what that means is that when Jesus walked on this earth, all right, this is powerful. He was 100% God, wasn't he? I mean, he's fully God. But he was also 100% what? Man. I want you to think about this. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Interesting scripture here because God's expectation for the man Christ is the same expectation for us in this sense. The Bible says, and Jesus, now this is powerful, and Jesus, what, say it? Increased. But he increased in three ways. We're spirit, soul, and body, every one of us in here. We're a spiritual being. We have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and we have an earth suit. We have a body. All right, now watch this. Jesus increased in three ways. Number one, spiritually. He grew. He grew in his relationship with his Father. Number two, it says he grew in stature. That's physically. I mean, Jesus was not born a full-grown 33-year-old man. No, he was born a baby. We see a glimpse of Christ in the temple at 12, and we see the normal physical maturation process of Jesus. And he grew in favor with God and men. What is that? There was an emotional development. There was a connectivity of Christ. So we see here that Jesus Christ grew. If he grew as a human being when he was on this earth, if we see that God's expectation is for marriages to grow, for Christians to grow, for churches to grow, for healthy communities to grow, then how much more for us? Now, there's a lie in the body of Christ. There is a lie. Matter of fact, there's a lie in the world. And the lie is that in this earth, you can reach, watch this, there. Like, what is there? Well, it's there. Well, what does that mean? In other words, you know, you just, when you reach there, you go to goal setting seminars, and if you get this goal, you're there. No, no, wait a minute, hold on. There is a lie. There's only one there, it's called heaven. Y'all with me, huh? But when you're in the here and now, you're growing. You're developed. Every single one of us are growing. Now, there is a starting point. Don't misunderstand me. The starting point for every Christian, in the person that knows Christ, the starting point in their journey with God is the day they were born again. Did you guys know something? There are a lot of people breathing, but they're not living. There's people next to you at work. They're breathing. They're taking up airspace. That's what I call it. I mean, it's airspace. They're taking up, but they're really not living. The very first day of life is the day you meet Christ. I remember I grew up in a traditional South Louisiana liturgical home. Some of you guys know what that would be like. I mean, it's real. I mean, you could barely breathe. You had to breathe mellow in church. And I remember walking in, and my mom came one day home. She told my brother and I, she goes, listen, we're going to another church. I went, wow, okay, that's cool. And we walked into this church, and I could actually hear the music, Pastor, outside when the car went, Keith, man, my older brother Keith, I said, Keith, what is going on up in that place, y'all? You know? No music. I mean, we, you know, and we walked in, and it was like, whoa, man, this is like amazing. And people, there was drums and guitars and people's hair going back and forth. And man, this is the coolest thing. People jumping like, Keith, man, this is awesome, man, you know. But I will be honest, I would look at it a lot of people, kind of like some of y'all in the back. When I came in, I was kind of, but I did have my hand on the chairs because they were doing this hand thing. Like landing a plane, you know. I couldn't quite figure out what they were doing, like touchdown Jesus or something, you know. I really couldn't get it. Matter of fact, we have a church, we raise hands a little bit, you know. And I love the day. Everybody say the day. The day when you first raise your hands in church. It's the day. I mean, you know, you're kind of there, and you're just kind of holding on the back of the chair, and you're like, And today, the worship leader, just God is in this place. God's presence. If you just lift your hands to God, and it's the day. You decided earlier on the way here, it was the day. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're like, I'm going to do it, honey, today. And so it's like God's there. And so you're like, you know, just lift your hands. You're like, and you put it down quick, but you did it. How many know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hands like this. All right, I got all y'all hooked. See, when my mom, she got saved, though, she started bringing this church. And when my mom got saved, she got like really spirit-filled, crazy, loving Jesus, big banner, tape recorder, intercessory prayer, crazy, saved for Jesus. I thought we were just going to go to another church. I didn't know like there was a whole nother level to this thing, you know. Hey, so she prayed for me. She'd be in the house, you know, praying for me. And I'd walk in, you know, and she'd have like names of her friend, like Mary, Sue, you know, like line crossed out. And then it was like Steve. And I found out later, I'm on her prayer list. I found out later, I was on every TV ministry prayer list in America. I'm serious. I couldn't turn on the, Oral Roberts, there's a young man. Darn it. Pat Robertson, God, a lady sent me $10 and I'm praying for a young man. I mean, every prayer list. I'm serious. My mom had this little prayer group and they conveniently had it at 3:15 every day or every Tuesday at my house. Of course, I'd get home from school about 3:10. I'd get in there a couple minutes and the little ladies, you know, they'd have their Bibles just huge, you know, just all lying around, and they just start praying for me, you know. So I'd walk out of my room, and I'd try to go get something, and they'd all be like, you know, stretch your hands out towards him. Devil, get off, you know. And I'm just like, I had this long white hair, just like white, the real thing, not dyed. And I did have a black dyed rat tail, a foot long, braided. It was cool in the early 80s. And so my mom and they would pray for me. And it was tormenting me. It really was. Because they'd stretch their hands out and all this stuff. So one day I got home and I thought, man, this is awesome. They're gone. I ran them off. It was like too heavy oppressive. You know, it was just oppressive. And I'm like, maybe they went to somebody else's house. And so I walked in and I was just like, yes, victory. Yeah, they're gone. Crazy prayer lady, wacko, intercessory prayer Jesus people. And I walked into my room and see, like, they, like, psyched me out. They, like, parked down the street. They did. It was like a plan. And I opened up the door, and I heard 15 spirit-filled, crazy, nutty ladies in there, in the name of Jesus. And they're ripping down Rush 2112 to Led Zeppelin. And listen, wait. They've got oil. They're shooting in my room. And they're shooting oil. I bind the devil all over my Panama Jack shirts. Wait, it gets worse. And this lady is about to squirt oil on my leather members only jacket, baby. I ran out of there. Listen, they were crazy. I do tell people this though, seriously. If you have a mom who's spirit-filled and goes to a prayer Bible study at any level, and she's praying for you, give up. You'll just be hounded. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Pat Alvarez is. Where's Pat? How many of y'all love Pat Alvarez up there? I've known Pat Alvarez. He's from New Orleans. I've known Pat Alvarez since we were kids. And, 10, 11. And Pat's actually got two sisters, one sister younger and one sister older. Pat's mom is a wonderful intercessor prayer. She's about under 5 foot, maybe 4'8" or something like that. And she's full of power. So I had to go to church when I was a kid. And my, my I, I, quite honestly, I cannot relate to people. I don't want to make my kid go to church. They may hate God. No, let me help you. They do hate God. That's why they don't want to go to church. Why don't you make them go to church? They may meet God. It's a little extra. So I'd sit on the back row. My mom would make me go to church. Or she goes, you know, go fine. You'll get lunch money. How many of you know that motivates a kid? So I'd be sitting on the back row, my hair, my thing. You know. So Pat's mom would walk by with these two, and they were really pretty girls. And I'm like 14, 15, and they'd walk behind. And every Sunday, every Sunday night, 6 o'clock service, they would do this. She'd walk by, a little short, powerful Spanish lady. She'd walk by. She goes, girls, come here, girls. They'd follow her. Girls, girls, put your hand out to that little boy. Put it out. Girls, girls, demon out, Jesus in. Pat, is that not? I finally, in October 1987, I don't have time. I'd like to finish my whole testimony, but I gave my heart to Christ, and a freshman at Tulane University. And you know, once you give your heart to Christ, you know, this is what I love about God. See, isn't it interesting that the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, it was in a Bible study a couple months after that, isn't it interesting that the moment you give your heart to Christ, God does not kill you and quickly get you into heaven? Remember Star Trek, beam him up, Scotty. In there, quick, get another one. Bring him up, quick, before we lose him. No, God leaves you here. See, God first calls you out unto himself because he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. But number two, listen, then God puts his dream on the inside of your heart. See, number one, I want you to write this down. God is a dream giver. God is a dream giver. Genesis chapter 12, I want to talk to you about a dream that God put in another man's heart this morning, and that's Abram. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. So it's a land, it's out there. Where is it, God? I'm just going to show you, just follow me. Boy, isn't that interesting? We want all the details, don't we? It's like the difference between men and women. You know, a man comes home. You know, men are, we're headlines things, right? Women are the details. I'm sure y'all have heard that before, you know. And so, you know, men, we come home from work and it's like, you know, what'd you do today? It was great. Well, anything happen? Nah. Boy, she wants the whole deal. Isn't that interesting, though? With God, men, we flip it and we want the details. God says, go to a land. How long is it going to take? How much is it going to cost? Will I have road markers along the way? God spoke to Abram. He says, I want you to go to a place, a land that I'm going to show you, and I will bless you and make you a great nation. And I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. By the way, God's blessing on your life is for a purpose. It's never just for yourself. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let me break this down just a little bit and give you some background. God called a man named Abram out of the land of Ur of Chaldeans. Abraham was a polytheist. What is a polytheist? A worshiper of many gods. We are monotheistic, theos, God. Mono, one God. We believe in one God, the one and true living God. He was a poly, many, theist. He believed in many gods, and he was living in the land of Ur. Now, interesting, his dad's name is Terah, T-E-R-A-H, and he also was going to Canaan. If you look at Genesis 11, I don't have time to get into it. The Bible says, interesting, that Abram's father was also going to the initial place that God called Abram to go, and that's Haran. I mean, that's Canaan. But he stopped in a place called Haran. Fascinating story. You need to do that. Genesis 11. The word Haran, by the way, is the word settledness, mediocrity. How many Christians start out on fire for God, big dreams, big, but they stop. They get stuck. God told Abram, leave that place of stuckness. Leave that place of settledness. There's another level for your marriage. There's another level in your walk with God. There's an enlargement of your capacity in business. Don't remain in the same place. He says, I want you to leave your father's house. Leave the tyranny of the familiar. Boy, does that get all of us. But wait a minute. I've always done that. No. Leave that because there's a broad place for you. It's an awesome place. God tells Abram he must leave that in order to pursue God's dream. Now, there were some unique challenges here. Number one, he was 75, his wife was 65, and she was barren. How was it that he was going to be a father of many nations with this woman, and she was barren? It's interesting. I had somebody come to me one time and say, Pastor, listen, I've got all these things on the inside of me, and I'm just not sure. I mean, is it God's dream or is it my dream? Let me give you one way to determine what's in your heart, how to decipher whether it's God's dream or your dream. Because there's lots of things on the inside of us. How do we just not know we just ate too much pizza last night versus a Holy Spirit, God-inspired, heart-thumping, heart-pounding dream from heaven? How do we know the difference? Well, let me give you one difference. If it's from yourself, you can accomplish it in your own strength. But if it's from God, it's so heavy. Watch this. It's designed by God to be so much bigger than you that it is impossible to accomplish it in your own strength. And so it pushes you down where you get to the place of dependency upon Jesus, where you need God. God, I can't. Lord, I'm not going to be the man that you call me to be without your help. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you cannot have a spirit-filled marriage in the 21st century without God's help. Listen, you can't do it on your own. You cannot raise world-changing kids without God's help. You can't have the business, listen, that God's put in your heart without God's help. We can't have the churches that God, world-changing, community-changing churches without God's help. You can't have any, listen, how do I know if it's God or me? If you need God's help, it's God's dream. Abram was 75, his wife was 65, and he realized, God, listen, I'm going to need your help to accomplish it. It's interesting, when I gave my heart to Christ 2 months before I turned 19, freshman in college at Tulane, my dad is an attorney. And so they had this dream, and he has a big mediation law firm in New Orleans. And I was a junior in college, and any attorneys in the house, any attorneys. When I was a junior in college, you go and you take what's called the LSAT, and it's a test to get into law school. So I told my mom and dad, I sat them down one day, I said, listen up, I want to talk to y'all about my future plans. See, God saved me. Remember this, God does not save you and then not give you a dream. God saves you, and then he wants to put something in your heart, a purpose, something for you to do while you're on this planet. I sat my mom and dad down. I said, Dad, I just want to tell you something. I'm not going to go to law school. As a matter of fact, God's called me to be a preacher. I'm going to go to Bible school after college. And I looked at my mom and she went, oh. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She goes, my son is going to be poor. I mean, that's what she told me, right? And the reality is, I graduated from college and I went to a Bible school in Texas. Now, number one, write this down. Say, God is the dream giver. Number two, delays are always inevitable. Delays are always. See, I thought, man, God, Pastor Stovall, I thought, man, God puts a dream in my heart. The next day it's going to come to pass. I mean, because that's right. I heated up my coffee in 30 seconds in a microwave. I don't even stop at the clothes. I just go through a drive-through dry cleaning. I mean, why not, right? We live in America. I just thought, here it is. God's put a dream. I just can't wait. I'm waiting for the calls. I go to Bible school. Listen. 2 years, I get to the end of Bible school, and you know what? All my friends, you know, they're making up business cards. You know, one friend, you know, apostle to Mexico. Another friend, prophet to Spain. I couldn't even make up a card and put nonprofit on it. I had nobody even cared about me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I didn't have a job to do nothing. I mean, literally. So what did I do? I graduated. My friends are like, Steve, I'll see you. I will send you letters. I'm going to take nations for God. You know what I did? I went back to New Orleans and worked at a pasta restaurant, shucking pasta for Jesus. It's a waiter. graduate from college, graduate from Bible school, no job offers, nobody interested in nothing, nothing related to me. I'm living with the associate pastor, he and his wife, working waiting tables at my church in New Orleans, waiting tables at a restaurant, cleaning bathrooms on the weekend just to be around church, just to do anything I could to be in ministry. It's interesting when I think about this because I thought, like I went to kindergarten, my very first day of kindergarten, I came home crying. True story. I was just like, oh, just crying. My mom and dad go, what's wrong, son? Keith, my older brother, Keith told me that you'll learn to read in kindergarten. She goes, son, not the first day. But how many times in our lives, how many times in my life, God has spoken to me about something? How many times has God spoken to you about your son? He's going to love God. He's going to be on fire for Jesus. And Pastor Stovall is talking about family salvation and people coming to Christ. And man, it's exciting. And you know that God speaks to you that day. And there's a word in your heart. And yet it's 3 years later and your kid has gotten like more oppressed. And you're like, oh God, boy, it's what do you do between when God puts that word in your heart, puts that dream, and the manifestation comes? It's what you do in this, what I call in-between phase, that determines whether or not you'll see it come to pass. Many people get out of the game there. They get back up in the grandstand and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. God spoke to Abram. Time goes on. The promised child has not come to pass. Look what happens in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai, this is verse 2, says, Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. 10 years. Pastor, it's been 10 years since God spoke. 10 years. I'm still at the same job. It's been years. I've been praying for my wife to change. I've been praying for my husband to come to Christ. I've been praying for my kids to get saved. I've been praying to see this business start. It's not been a month. It's not been a week, but it's been years. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Well, that's when the enemy really comes and starts lying to us. Isn't that right? God didn't really say that. Come on, are y'all with me? Did God really say that? Kind of like all the way back to the garden. Hath God really said that? Did God really promise that? Is that really in the Bible? Oh, God, I don't know. I thought I heard you when Pastor was preaching. I thought that I was watching. I thought I heard, and I'm just not sure. And boy, and the enemy just pounds you right then. I thought so. Isn't it interesting that right at that moment, there's always somebody there to offer you an alternative, watch this, to take matters into your own hands? After all, you're getting past those childbearing years. I mean, listen, golly, go out there. I mean, you're trying to do this church thing, this Jesus thing. I mean, come on, lower the standard a little bit. Well, the Bible says I got to be yoked evenly. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, after all, God's up there and he's old. And, he's kind of, you never know. He's tired, probably hungry, feeding people in, Africa. And you're over here in Jacksonville. I'm not even sure. I mean, God's up there. I know he wound up the clock. Things are running. But, I mean, after all, you got to make yourself, oh, good. So you have a relationship. Well, is he a Christian? Does he love God? Well, he's a good man. Well, I mean, is he, on fire for Jesus? Well, he told me he had a Bible. I said, really? Where'd he get it? It's a Gideon's from a hotel. He stole it, but he asked for forgiveness. We call that missionary dating in our church, by the way. There's always somebody, some voice, something there. And I'm not suggesting it's not hard. Of course it's hard right there. Where is this thing in America? Where is this? We've bought in this lie. Raise your hand. Sign up for Jesus. And it's just easy and then heaven. Listen, man, there's some faith and there's patience and there's standing on God's word and there's leaning and there's fasting and there's believing God and I'm not moving and I believe Christ has spoken. And listen, my mom prayed for me for 7 years and I got word. My mom called the police on me 5 times. She told me that I'm going to pray God saves you or kills you. I was scared of my mom, be honest. I get in trouble. I call it, Dad, Mom there. Don't tell her I got in trouble. I'm serious. But you know something? It was years. I got worse and worse and worse. Don't let go of that word that God speaks to you. Sarah, I said, why don't you go check it out? Go with Hagar. Be easy. Everybody say, delays are always inevitable. He goes in, he has the baby. She has the baby. By the way, I love when guys come up to me. Pastor, we're pregnant. I'm like, dude, she's pregnant. You helped. The baby finally comes forth, and it's Ishmael. It's not the promised one. They try to help God out. Boy, I tell you, I've really struggled with that in my life. My personality, I want to make it happen. I want to just type A, let's do it, you know. We'll pray God blesses it after the fact. I remember when I came back from Bible school, and I was working at that restaurant. Boy, it was really hard. It was hard. I graduated from college, and still no ministry. I was working this restaurant. One day, these friends came into the restaurant, and it was four friends that I knew from college. One of them had become a Christian. The other three were just not. They were just not serving God at all. And one of them really made fun of me in college when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I thought, oh, see, that's ridiculous. You know, oh, gosh, that's, well, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to preach the gospel. And so I remember the day they came in. And they were sitting at my table. And I saw them. This is 4 years. 2 years in college, junior year, going to be a preacher. Senior year, graduate. First year Bible school. Second year Bible back. So I'm going 5 years that they knew that I'm going to be a preacher, right? And they came in, and I went, oh, gosh, those are my friends from Tulane. One of them is in graduate school. One's in third year medical school up in Nashville. And I was like, I was so embarrassed. I thought, I can't, because I'm not a preacher yet, right? So I went in the back, and I said, guys, man, I don't feel good. Can you go wait on that table? Can anybody help me? No? Oh, gosh. All right. Oh. And I remember that walk from right here to that table. It's tough. And I was like, broom, and the devil's pounding me, just pounding me. Where is God? Yeah, I thought you were called. Yeah, that wasn't from God, just pounding me. They're going to mock you.
I'm melting.
Yeah, I'm just in the ground. I'm sorry, I've been doing this a long time, the last couple of days. And so I get up to the table, and I'm like, and they're looking down at the menus, and I'm like, drinks. Guy looks up at me and goes, Steve, dude, what are you doing here, man? Dude, didn't you like go become like a priest? Let me ask you a question. How do you tell three guys that are lost, don't understand the Bible? God's got me here building character on the inside. That didn't make sense. It's in that delay. Why? Okay, Pastor, why the delay? Let me tell you why. Because God's doing something in you as much as he wants to do something through you. Hebrews chapter 6, it says, do not become sluggish. Verse 12, but imitate those who through faith and what say it? Patience. Well, we stop there. We need faith. Believe God. Yeah, but it's patience. Jesus is doing something on the inside of us. It's in those times of delay. I wrote this down, that God is building the character of Christ on the inside of us. Remember this, God's word never fails. The baby will come forth. The dream will be fulfilled. The healing emotionally will come. The promotion will come. But it's going to take some time. God can do anything instantly. Don't misunderstand. We believe in the miracle power of God. But what I often find is that God will touch me, but then there's a process to the full manifestation. The dream of God, the word of God. I want to encourage you with this, and I got one more point. Listen, God loves you. God cares about you. God's not playing games with your life. Some of you think, man, you know, I really feel like this week, and I've had a word for some people, you know, where is God? And is God loves you. He's not playing games with you, but he's got a timing for you. And it's going to be right. It's going to be when you're ready to handle it. It's going to be perfect. Look at number three. God's timing is perfect. Last one. Y'all want one more point? Can I have five more minutes? Raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20. I don't care about that clock. I'm just joking. I'm just trying to hold the man of God down. No, I'm just playing. Genesis 21. Look at this last one and then we'll close. Guys, I so love Pastor Stovall and Carrie. Let me tell you something. I've preached in so many different churches. You can tell when a church is well taught, well built in the Word of God. And what God has given you two guys, and Carrie and Stovall Williams, it is, listen, it's not bring your friends in, say something nice. This is one of the finest young leadership pastor couples. And we look to you guys as a church. And I'm telling you, God's given that couple to this community, Carrie and Stovall Williams. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Can we just, this is awesome. I mean that. I love when I hear the Bible rustling back and forth. Let me give you this last thing and then we'll close. Genesis 21. It says, then the Lord, verse 1, visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Watch this. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Now there's a comma there. At the count of three, we're going to read these next four words. Listen to me closely. This is where you are right now. You need to see this. We need to clear the deck and understand that God has a purpose and intentionality. He's not playing with you. He loves you. But this is very important that you understand this. Remember this. Everybody say, God gives the dream. Say this, delays are always inevitable. Say this. Say number three. Say God's timing is perfect. Look at this, comma. At the count of three, can we say it? One, two, three. At the set time. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. Look at verse three. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Isn't that powerful? The word Isaac is laughter. Boy, isn't it powerful when that dream comes to pass? Isn't it powerful when that business that you believe in God for finally is birthed? Isn't it powerful, that ministry? Isn't it powerful to see that kid surrender their heart to Christ, for that marriage to change, for that healing to come, where you actually feel emotionally whole? It's at a set time. I don't know God's thoughts. I don't know everything about God. I know some from the Bible, but God is working. The very first time you lifted your voice to God, God heard your cry. The very first prayer that you pray, listen, God heard it. And God started moving in situations and working behind the scenes. And we don't understand it, but God has a set time. Friend, listen to me today. I want to encourage you. God has a set time for your life. And God cares about you. And there was a moment at a set time Isaac came forth. 25 years after the promise. How long is it going to take, Pastor? Not that long, huh? I don't know. I don't think. But you know what? God has a set time. But I know this in the process. If I'll show up, if I'll stay in this word, if I'll stay in prayer, if I'll stay connected to the house of God, if I'll just continue to stay in the game, I want to say this to the young preachers or the Bible school people. Don't look for a position. Look to be a servant. Look to grow. Look to just serve. Look to just be what God's called you to be. There came a moment in my life, I was living with the associate pastor, he and his wife, and I was just serving, doing whatever I could. And one day he asked me, hey, I want you to reach out to these kids at this local high school. Out of obedience to his request, I did it. And a whole ministry was born to high school kids called Next Generation Ministries. It touched all of South Louisiana. It wasn't even my idea. It was God's. I was a steward over God's dream. And then our church, I was asked to go across the lake, 19 people and this little group of people on a Saturday night. And I just said, man, whatever, just showing up. God has a set time for every one of you. God's got a spouse. God's got a baby. God's got the job. Listen. Don't give up at the set time. Matter of fact, I want you to just stand right now. I want to pray for you guys.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.